The calendar might read August, and certainly the temperature outside is sweltering with record-setting summer heat. But just up the road from our studios here in Somerset County, the sights and sounds of fall are upon us. Welcome, everybody, here to Fox Sports On the Road. I'm your host, Michael Cohen. Rutgers fall sports are in full swing already. Training camps are open for football, men's and women's soccer, and field hockey. And in just a matter of weeks, if not days, games will begin for real. Men's soccer was 9-6-2 last season. They opened the 2021 campaign at 7-0-1 before dropping six of their last nine contests, including a 1-0 loss to Indiana in the Big Ten tournament. This season, men's soccer is looking to build off their early success from last year for more sustained success in 2022. Now, without further ado, let's head out to Rutgers University to hear from head coach Jim McElderry at his preseason press conference.
Anthony Paradiso from Jersey Sporting News. Just talk about what that's going to mean, having 12 players with eight or more starts from a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, the returning group, I just missed you a little bit there, just about the guys that have come back and returning. Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it seems like yesterday that some of these guys arrived on campus a few years ago. So it's a huge advantage for us as a coaching staff to have so many players that have been in the program now with us for the last 3 years. We bring back a lot of experience. We've got guys who have played in the most important games for us over the years. So that does bode well for our group, but it also really bodes well for our younger guys. They have a lot of people to rely on besides the coaching staff. So we've got people like Tommy DeVizio, who, you know, has come back for his fifth year, who has been someone that we've relied on a lot since I arrived here, but he's also really bought into what we as a staff have been trying to push. He really is a leader amongst the group. Pablo Avila is a guy who has been a little unlucky with injuries over the years, but is always one of our best players and most important locker room guys as well in terms of helping us as a coaching staff. And we just have an older kind of core group that have been through preseasons with us. They've been through COVID. They've kind of seen so much that I'm excited for those guys to come in with a group that we feel is as strong as we've had here in a long time, but also a little bit of normalcy as well coming in and having a traditional type preseason. They've sacrificed a lot being here on campus and working out with each other and Ruben, our strength coach, for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm very proud of how much time and effort they put into it already, and we haven't even officially started. So, it's a really good group, and we'll be relying on our older returning players a lot during this season.
Glenn's up next.
Hey, Jim, you've mentioned the players coming in early twice now. So is this the first time where you really had what you would consider a satisfactory attendance to help you prepare? Or I'm not sure how much COVID played a role in how things went in the past either, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's something that immediately when we got here, if we wanted to compete with the best teams in the country, we had to have some players, if not all of our players, commit to being here early in the summer. Some guys are taking classes, which is a lot simpler in that maybe they need to be here. But a lot of our players, it's a huge advantage, Glenn. You know, we have so many players from within maybe an hour from campus that, you know, they are now have this unbelievable facility in the Rock, and they can come here on a daily basis and train with our strength coach and then play a pickup game with their teammates. And, you know, that to me is a big part of the culture that they're creating, not so much the coaching staff is creating, the players are creating, which is that's where it needs to come from. And not only is basic stuff of improving their fitness and working on their game, but really working together as a group and appreciating each other. So I think it's really important the way college soccer is set up right now, having the ability to have them work together for 3-4 weeks prior to us starting preseason is vitally important.
Dom.
Hey, Jim. Dom Savino from Big Ten Plus. Just wanted to ask you a question about Ori Briscoe. We saw him get some time with the Puerto Rican national team in the offseason in the CONCACAF Nations League. What have you seen from him over the offseason?
Yeah, Ori's going to be really important to us. You know, we played him in the majority, if not all the minutes of our spring season with Oren had shoulder surgery. Oren won't play this season for us, which is maybe breaking news for some of you on here. So he had shoulder surgery in the winter and it just didn't take that well for him, unfortunately. So he's going to have another surgery in the next couple of weeks. He'll still graduate from Rutgers and finish up his academics here this first semester. But, you know, Ori had a great spring for us. Again, played in, 95% of the minutes that we played in the spring season. The Puerto Rican national team is something that was a huge part of his development, I think, confidence-wise, training. He's a great kid. He's a phenomenal athlete. And we have really high hopes for him as a goalkeeper here at Rutgers.
Well, Alex next.
Alex Carbonati, WRSU FM New Brunswick. Coach, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. This team had a great start last year, 7-0-1. You were a top 25 team in the nation to kick off last fall. After that historic feat, things weren't that great. You finished 9-6-2. You won only two games after that great start. You fell in round one of the Big Ten tournament. You missed out again in the national tournament for the fifth straight year. How important is it for this team to start so strong but also have a great middle, great ending, and put this team where it really wants to be?
Yeah, well, I think we all want a great beginning and a middle and an ending. You know, I think that's the ultimate goal for all of us. But it's just not that easy, you know, and playing in the Big Ten is challenging. I think, you know, I was really happy with our group last year. I thought we played really well in some very important games. It's a challenging conference and, you know, losing to Indiana, I think our in the first round of the playoffs last year after beating them at their place earlier in the season, it was tough, but that's what happens when you play in a conference like this. It's every game is super competitive. That's why kids want to come here and play. But yeah, I think the ultimate kind of goal for us is to, again, get a great first start to the season. Our schedule is a little bit more challenging, a little bit more travel at the beginning of the season, going out to Creighton and Omaha. But, you know, I think for us, it's always about can we compete with the best teams in the country? I think our roster is improved from last year, whether it's our players that were here on the roster last year getting better, which I believe they have, but also bringing in some freshmen that we think can push our returning guys or bring different elements to the game. So, yeah, listen, I think the ultimate goal for us is to get better and put ourselves in the mix for the NCAA tournament and be playing our best soccer at the end of the year. So we feel like we've built some good blocks there, but yeah, there's always room for improvement, but I couldn't be more kind of excited with this group.
Eddie.
Hey, Coach. Eddie Kalugi with WRSU. Kind of tying a couple of the other questions together, you guys obviously coming off of back-to-back seasons, finishing fifth in the standings in the Big Ten, and you've mentioned it, a lot of players returning, training has been ramping up early and often this season, but you also mentioned the Big Ten Conference is really a gauntlet schedule, so what will be some of the biggest challenges and the biggest hurdles for you guys to overcome to try to take that next step in the conference?
Well, you know, I think one of the big improvements for us is just getting deeper. You know, the games, as you guys know, in college soccer come just so quickly. You know, you're playing basically every 3 or 4 days. You can't have 11 good players, even if they're the best players in the country, and have a successful season. It just doesn't work in college soccer, unfortunately, right now. With the way the schedule is set up, you need to have depth. You need to have guys that can come in and add to the game, or maybe just make your team a little different, but it's not a drop off. So I think we've greatly improved in that, in the depth of our team. We have guys that can play different positions. We have different guys that can start games and not have any type of drop off. And I think when you're in a really competitive season and games are coming thick and fast, you need that that depth in your squad where you don't really feel like you need to change everything when you make a couple of substitutions. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think for us right now, we have a ton of competition for for playing time. It's something that is a good problem to have, but that probably is the thing that will kind of keep me on my toes throughout the entire season. Is how do you get that right? How do you reward players? How do you make sure that you're getting the right mix and getting guys the right rest? So it's it's never easy when you're in one of the best conferences in the country, but that's what your players want. That's why they come here. But I feel like our roster is as good as it's been for as long as I can remember, not only as the head coach here, but as a fan or as a New Jersey resident, always following Rutgers soccer. Our roster is as good as it's been in a long time.
Michael's up next.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. Michael Cohen here with Fox Sports New Jersey Radio. What are your expectations? I know you're 8 days away from a exhibition game. What's your expectation level for that match, and what are you looking for from your players in that match?
Yeah, we try to break the schedule down in preseason, all throughout the whole season, really. But, you know, this first game is never about, playing 11 guys for 90 minutes. You know, we only have been preseason for 4 or 5 days when that first game comes around. So we'll have kind of specific goals for our group, but ultimately it's about, can we be good on the defensive side in that first game? Can we see some players in different positions? Can we start building relationships? And you want to win every game, right? Even preseason games, you want to win games, but it's not the most important thing when you're 5 days into preseason. You could win a game, your first preseason game, 5-0. You could lose 5-0, and it has no real impact potentially on your season. So we want to play to win every game. Of course, you're trying to create that culture of a winning mentality. But the reality is we're 5 days in. We're going to look at different relationships, different players. And as you guys know, the real games come fairly quickly. So there aren't a ton of opportunities to get maybe some players that haven't played a lot of minutes for us some minutes to show what they can do. So that first game against Monmouth will have a lot of that theme in it, while also trying to work on our fitness and trying to work on how we want to play. And the key for me in that first game is just building relationships with each other on the field and kind of seeing what we need to do in the next 5 or 6 days as we head into that second official preseason game the following week against Villanova.
Hey, Coach, Aaron Brightman, the Scarlet Faithful, long time no talk. Wanted to ask, you had spoken about a lot of the alumni being a part of the program, being very supportive, including some prominent alumni. How has that helped build your culture and help make Rutgers, a prominent destination for recruits when you're on the trail?
Yeah, I think we're lucky in a lot of ways in that some of our big alums, whether they're players or even not players on the team, people that just love soccer, so many of them live in New Jersey. So they have a vested interest in our program. So that's vitally important. And we try to tap into that as much as we can. We're lucky. We have a lot of our alums that are, in the tri-state area. So they can not only be involved in our program from afar, they can actually come and watch us play and kind of see what we're doing and are we doing what we're saying we're doing. So we've had some really good support. We look at, had some great conversations with a lot of people over the last year and having more people be more involved in our program, the more the merrier. But also I think getting a team like UCLA to come out and a lot of our alums from that, late 80s, early 90s are excited about that game. Obviously they played in the final in 1990, but not only that, it's just trying to associate yourself with some of the top programs, but also that history is really important. So, we have a really good group of alums. They love soccer. They're heavily involved in it. And, we're looking forward to having a bunch of them come back and at different moments throughout the year. But that last kind of regular season game against UCLA will be exciting for a lot of our players that played in the late 80s and early 90s.
Let's circle back to Glenn and then Dom.
But Jim, you made reference to depth being important, especially under the current format. So what is the status of the full academic year schedule calendar? I mean, that's gone through so many machinations over the years, and I actually don't even remember where it stands now.
Yeah, I think they just tabled it for the kind of near future. And I think the reason for that is kind of seeing what some of the NCAA does in terms of the transformational committee type thing. So it's been tabled for right now. As you know, you and I have spoken, I'm for that because I just think it helps us spread the season out a little bit and keep players healthy and get them in the right state of mind. And I do think it's in the best interest of the players. But, you know, right now it's kind of tabled until I think some of this transformational committee stuff gets kind of worked through. We're hoping that it comes through in the next year or two. I do think it would be a great thing for the game and most importantly for the players to be able to spread their season out a little bit. You look at our schedule right now and, you know, if we're kind of not having kids come and volunteer their time in the summer to come back, you know, they're arriving on August 8th. And if you don't have a great season, your season could end October 29th. And, you know, that's just an incredibly short time period to jam in 17 or 18 games. Never mind the experience of the players. You look at some of the other sports and they're just a little bit longer and the games are more spread out. But more importantly for us, it's just the demand on them physically is maybe too much to be playing, you know, every 4 days. And as you know, Glenn, it's some teams have, we're excited about the depth we have in our group right now, but sometimes you don't have that, right? You pick up some injuries and all of a sudden you're relying on 13 or 14 players. We're limited at 9.9 scholarships right now. So it's very challenging. So I think it really is in the best interest of the players, most importantly. Forget about really what the coaches think. It's really about the health of the players and making sure they have time to recover and be able to actually have a good college experience as well.
What is the transformational committee? What is that?
Well, I think it's just it's the committee and the NCAA in terms of what's the next step with the NCAA in terms of who's going to govern, who's going to make these decisions. Where is it all going? And hey, what, you know, who's going to make these decisions on everything really dealing with college athletics? So I think it's just soccer falls into that where. Instead of making this massive change of going to this 21st century model where it's spread over two semesters, do they wait and see if any big changes happen prior to making this decision for men's soccer?
Okay, thanks.
Dom?
You know, Jim, you mentioned the fact that you get back a couple of grad students using an extra year, or I don't know exactly whether it's the COVID extra year or not, but having Thomas Divizio back and Pablo Avila back, even in the first couple of days of practice with everybody together, what has the significance of their return meant?
Yeah, really important. You know, first of all, they're two different guys in that they arrived at different times. Tommy's a Scotch Plains guy right around the corner from here, was a big recruit, but he arrived here at Rutgers before I was here. So he's been someone that has handled the transition of a new coaching staff incredibly well. He's really bought into what we're selling as coaches and on the field, off the field, leadership, everything. Tommy's been amazing for us. And being someone who is from Scotch Plains, a real soccer hotbed in New Jersey, and just being a really good guy has been a lot of fun for us as a coaching staff. And Pablo, we brought in, and Pablo had officially finished his undergrad here at Rutgers in December. So he's already started his graduate degree. So he'll finish a graduate degree at the end of December. So it's been great for him academically. But Pablo is, if you ask anybody on our team who is, you know, technically one of the best, if not the best on the team, he's always going to be in that mix. So he has an incredible soccer talent. And for us, you know, we know when he's playing his best, he's one of the best players in the country. So his issue has been a little bit being unlucky with injuries. So we're working hard. He's worked very hard this summer. But both of those guys, I can't say enough about them as guys as well, both academically. They put a lot of time in. They're both from different kind of backgrounds, but they lead by example. We feel lucky that they're back here for this extra kind of COVID year.
Let's go to Joey, and then we have time for one more after that. We'll finish with Mike.
Hey, Joey Chandler with NJ.com, hoping to do some features on your guys this year. I was just wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about your freshman, Nestor Cabrera, and what he's been able to accomplish this offseason and with the Guatemalan team.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for covering us as well. Yeah, you know, it's one of the fun things about being here at Rutgers. We have so many good players in New Jersey. We've made that a priority, recruiting a lot of local guys. Nestor's a perfect example, right here from Bridgewater. You know, Nestor is, you know, from a really great family, and we've known him for a long time because he plays one of the local teams here, PDA, and I've seen him play since he was probably 14 years old. And he got a great opportunity to play for the Guatemalan national team. And, you know, the success that they had, I don't want to say that it was surprising, but I think as they headed into the under 20 World Cup qualifying, I don't know if anybody on their team thought they were guaranteed to qualify for the under 20 World Cup, but they did that, and accomplishment for that. And, you know, the Guatemalan community, not only here in New Jersey, but across the country, has really supported them incredibly well. So he's like a mini celebrity already, and he hasn't even stepped on campus yet. But Nestor's a really good kid, comes from an unbelievable family. Not only is a really good player, but I think he's somebody who has, you know, a bright future just in life in general. He's a kid that plays with a smile on his face. You know, he is very connected with teammates and you know, former teammates. So he's just one of those guys that we think has a bright future in the game. And you know, couldn't be happier that a local guy from right around the corner here, you know, is going to be joining us and playing for us. So he's a great kid, and I'm sure he's going to be somebody that we rely on a lot as we go forward, both on and off the field.
Take us home, Mike.
All right, let's take us home. One name that I did not hear mentioned, and I apologize if you did mention him, I apologize, but Jackson Temple, he had a big year for you last year. Can you talk about what his importance to this team for this season? He is now a senior, obviously, and you know, what kind of impact do you think he could have this year to build upon the great year he had last year in 21?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just not only with him, but I think there's a lot of guys that have been now in the program for a while. Hugo and LeGuenick and Anthony O'Donnell and Chris Teo, among other guys that have been here for a while, have played a lot of minutes for us. And someone like Jackson, you know, played immediately when he got here. He's scored goals every year for us. He's an incredible competitor. As many of you guys know, he's a little guy, but I don't think if you asked any of our players if he plays like that in training or in games, I mean, he has a competitive spirit in him that is unmatched, honestly, with so many people on our team even. But he is a special guy. He's scored big goals for us in conference, at a conference. So the expectations we have for him are incredibly high. But I think where he's going to really what he's going to benefit from too is as we've gotten better over the last couple of years, and especially this year, our roster is as good as it's been. It takes a little attention away from him, which I think he's going to welcome, you know, because there's times we play games and teams would really focus on him and kind of set their shape up or their defending to really try to stop him, which made life difficult. But I think we're going to have some more weapons that that will make it difficult for him to get, you know, shut down or double teamed. So I think he'll be a big benefit of the increased level on our team is going to benefit someone like Jackson. But he's had a couple of great years for us, and you know, I expect him to do the same this year.
And once again, folks, that was Rutgers men's soccer head coach Jim McElderry. It all begins for Rutgers when they head to Nebraska to take on Omaha on August 25th and then Creighton on August 28th. Rutgers' home opener will be September 2nd against interstate rival Princeton. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to Fox Sports On the Road, and we'll see you at the game.